Genesis chapter 41. Lord, I pray now as we open your word that you would speak to us. Lord, such an encouraging passage this morning. And how it's so evident that your heart towards each one of us is so loving. And how you want the absolute best. Lord, I pray that we would simply acknowledge you in every aspect of our life. Surrender ourselves. Entrust ourselves to your loving care. Knowing that you have the best possible plans in store. Speak to us this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. The boss called one of his employees into the office. "Rob," he said, "you've been with the company for a year. You started off in the mailroom. 1 week later, you were promoted to a sales position. 1 month after that, you were promoted to district manager of the sales department. Just 4 short months later, you were promoted to vice president. Now it's time for me to retire, and I want you to take over the entire company. What do you think of that?" The employee said, "Well, thanks." "Thanks? Is that all you can say?" "Well, okay. Thanks, Dad." Genesis chapter 41 records perhaps one of the greatest promotions ever. At the beginning of the chapter, Joseph is a prisoner in an Egyptian dungeon. At the end of the chapter, he's second in command of all of Egypt. And it happens like that. It happens in a single day. He wakes up one morning as a prisoner, and he goes to bed that night as prime minister of Egypt. And of course, this is all because of Joseph's dad, his heavenly father. God is making this all happen in Joseph's life. It says in Psalm 75, "For promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and promotes another." And we see God promoting Joseph in an amazing way this morning. And I see a picture of that. God has good things for his people planned. He has wonderful things that he wants to do in our lives if we allow him. Let's read this story and let's see how it all comes together. Look at verse 1, Genesis 41. It says, "Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph has been a prisoner for 2 full years since Genesis chapter 40. Most Bible scholars believe that time in total for Joseph spent in the prison was more like 8 to 10 years. 8 to 10 long years in prison for Joseph. But that's all about to change. Because the most powerful and important man in Egypt simply goes to sleep one night and has 2 dreams. And you're going to see that Pharaoh knows that these aren't ordinary dreams. I had too much green chili on my pizza last night dreams. These are significant dreams. Pharaoh knows deity is speaking to him. Let's see what he dreams. "So at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh had a dream, And behold, he stood by the river. That would be the Nile. Suddenly there came up out of the river seven cows, fine looking and fat. And they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven fine looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly seven heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. Strong word. He was distraught. He knew there was something about these dreams. And he's like, what are these dreams about? So let's be clear what the dream is. Seven fat cows come out of the Nile River. Seven skinny, gaunt cows come out next. And the seven skinny cows devour the seven fat cows. Now, I wonder if that wasn't bloody and gory in Pharaoh's dream. Can you imagine seven cows cannibalizing seven other cows? I think Pharaoh went, ugh, and he woke up. Goes back to sleep. Seven plump heads are devoured by seven skinny heads of grain. Wakes up. What is that all about? What is this? Verse 8, now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, and there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. This is an emergency. He calls an emergency meeting of the Joint Chief of Staff. Pharaoh would have had access to, all these wise men, all these counselors, all these magicians. And by the way, the magicians, as you know, traveled in the occult. And I even read this week that dreams were a big deal, and they were supposed to be a part of the magician's expertise. They even supposedly had these little dream books that they would record dreams in and they would study. So Pharaoh tells all of these guys his dreams, and I can see them talking about it, thinking about it, consulting their dream books. But no one has a clue as to what these dreams are about. And not even one of those wise guys is going to venture a guess. There's one wise man who's at this emergency meeting. And this guy occupies the place of chief butler. Now, this is the same chief butler who had been thrown into prison 2 years prior. And he had met Joseph. And remember, his friend, the chief baker, was also thrown into prison. And they're under Joseph's care in prison. And while they're in prison, they each have a dream. And you remember the experience. Joseph tells them their dreams. And it comes true. And Joseph had told that butler, when you get out, tell somebody about me. I want out of here. Tell my story. Well, he forgot. Well, at this meeting now, he remembers. Verse 9 says, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults. Oh, yeah. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was this young Hebrew man with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dreams. And it came to pass
just as he interpreted for us, so it happened, he restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Yes, Joseph. Yes, I remember. There's this guy, Joseph, Pharaoh. There's this guy in prison who can tell dreams. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Now, I always picture the POWs in a movie coming out. You know, they're scraggly, and they come out, and their eyes have to adjust to the sunlight. Joseph's probably not as bad as that, but he's a dirty, grimy, hairy mess. He's been in this dungeon. They bathe him. They shave him. They give him a change of clothes to make him presentable before Pharaoh. Now, can you imagine what Joseph, what's he thinking? One moment he's in prison. The next moment he's standing before Pharaoh. Can there be any doubt that this is the providential hand of God at work in the life of Joseph, working behind the scenes to promote Joseph? Providence. You know what that means? That is the supernatural working of God through natural means. Putting things together in a person's life. And that's what he's doing with Joseph. And it's so creative. God can be so creative. Look what he does here in Joseph's life. Number one, he gives one man two dreams. Then number two, he gives a whole bunch of men blank minds. And then number three, he puts a memory in another person's mind. One man gets two dreams. A bunch of men get a whole bunch of blank minds. And one guy gets a memory, and poof, Joseph stands squeaky clean before Pharaoh. Beautiful. And Joseph probably had no idea that this was going on. He didn't have a clue. He probably went to bed that night thinking, I'm just going to waste away here in Egypt. The providential care of God upon our lives, I think that's one of the most comforting things about being a Christian. Do you believe that God's hand of providence is upon your life? God works in the lives of his people in the most unexpected ways. For Christians, God is orchestrating lives to make sure that we're in the right places at the right times in life. He uses connections. He uses meetings. He can use books that you read. He can use circumstances. He can use even tough circumstances. Do you believe that? I look back over my life as a Christian and I see so many wonderful ways how God has led me to be at the right places at the right time. And you know what? We don't see it all the time. If we could see everything that God was doing in our lives, I'm certain we'd be amazed. One author said, if we could look behind the unexpected events in our lives, we would be amazed to see God wonderfully providing for our needs. The insignificant turns in the road, the seemingly unimportant events, the often unexplained happenings, are all a part of God's loving care. So knowing that, Christian, we should be looking for the providential hand of God in life. Amen? Be looking. And every day, be on your game. Living to seek what God has for you every day. And seeking to give Him glory. Look for it. You never know. Joseph made that connection with the butler 2 years prior. How would he know that 2 years later, it would be because of that connection he would stand before Pharaoh? You never know. Make the most of every single day. So clearly, the providential hand of God is at work here to promote Joseph. But I want you to understand that that doesn't negate Joseph's responsibility in the matter. Joseph's now given a shot. He's given an opportunity. He's going to have to step through that door. And it's a wonderful thing to know that the providential hand of God is upon our lives. But brother and sister in Christ, you don't just sit around waiting for providence to happen. You got to be active. You got to be looking. When you're given those opportunities, take them. Well, let's see how Joseph handles this. Verse 15. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream. There is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now I got to tell you, I absolutely adore that about Joseph. Check this out. He's standing before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. You could no doubt all the court officials, all the magicians are there. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, hey man, I've had a dream and I've heard you're the expert dream meister. And Joseph could have said, you're right. I am the dream expert. Let me take a bow. He could have used that as an opportunity for self-glory. He could have finally gotten a little respect for all the years that he was treated unfairly in prison. He didn't. You know how much glory he took for himself? Zero. He gave all of the glory to God. He takes that opportunity to point to God. In fact, I want to show you something interesting in his response to Pharaoh. Notice the first thing he says in verse 16. It is not in me. That whole phrase in English is one word in Hebrew. And I looked at the meaning of this one word. The basic meaning of that word is just simply not with an exclamation point. So it's almost like Pharaoh says, hey, I hear you're the expert in interpreting dreams. And Joseph goes, not. Not in me. Pharaoh, there's no way I could do that. But the living God can. God will give you the answer. That's who Joseph was. Here's a man who wanted to point people to God, to give glory to God, and he lived to do that. By the way, he does the same thing in the prison. When those two guys have that dream in the prison, like we studied, he doesn't go over to him and say, hey, would you like me to interpret your dream for you? I'm the dream expert. He says, don't interpretations belong to God? Whether the man was in prison speaking to prisoners or whether the man was on the world stage speaking to Pharaoh, he gave glory to God. He was responsible to do that. My brother and sister in Christ, that is one of our job descriptions. Do you understand that? We are to live to give glory to God. To point others to God. Jesus said to us in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why do we do good works as Christians? So that everybody can look at us and go, oh, look how holy he is. Barf. Why do we live Why do we go to work and be godly there? To give glory to God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 34, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." That's what we're to do. We're to magnify the Lord, exalt His name, glorify. Now, magnify, what does it mean to magnify the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? We're told to do that. Magnify the Lord. Every time I think of magnify, I think of making something bigger. And my question is, how do you make God any bigger than He is? How do you magnify God? The idea is we don't do anything to make God bigger. We do everything to reveal how big He is. To make the reality of who He is known. You see, people out there have such a pathetic view of God. They have such a small view of God. A lot of people, they don't even think about God. You know them. And then many who do think of God, they have this weird, warped perception of, oh, He's the man upstairs. He's the divine Santa Claus. But you're the Christian, and you see, you're supposed to come along, and the way you live your life and the way you point to God, what you do is you want to make the bigness of God known. His glory known. That's what Joseph did, whether he was in prison or in the palace. That's what we should do. And I'll tell you what, people that do that get promoted. I mean, I want you to sincerely think about this. If you live your life sincerely desiring that all glory goes to God, don't you think He's going to delight and keep giving you bigger and bigger stages on which to do that? Like He does with Joseph. Do you live to give God glory? We also have to mention, without a doubt, the humility of Joseph. Is Joseph humble here? He doesn't, oh, I'm the dream expert. No, not. Humility. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." Listen to this. "For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." If you're an arrogant, conceited, prideful person, look for demotion. If you're a humble servant, look for promotion. Joseph is clothed with humility. And so very soon he'll be clothed in royalty. Because God exalts the humble. All right. So, Pharaoh is going to tell Joseph his dream. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this is probably the first time Joseph has heard the dream. I mean, he's just woke up and had to take a shower that day. There he is before Pharaoh, and he doesn't even know what he's doing there. Now, all the magicians and the wise men, they've had hours to think about it. This is the first time he hears it. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river," verse 17. Verse 18, "Suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness I've never seen in all of the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly at the beginning." Now, that's the only other detail that Pharaoh adds. Kind of interesting. Once these skinny cows ate the fat cows, they stayed skinny. Verse 22, "Also I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. Then behold, seven heads withered thin and blighted by the east wind sprang up after them, and the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Now, I think all the magicians were there. And I can see them just sort of going. And this is all happening very publicly. Look at verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do." Look at that. There's no time to go think about it. There's no time to go pray. Right there on the spot, folks, the Holy Spirit of God was upon Joseph. This was supernatural enablement. The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, isn't that just one of the most beautiful, concise explanations that you find? I mean, he uses a few words. But with those words, standing before Pharaoh in that pressure cooker situation, tells him exactly what's going to happen. Pharaoh, 7 awesome years are coming to Egypt. 7 years of plenty. Those 7 years are going to be followed by 7 years of famine. Extreme, severe famine. It's going to be so bad that you won't even remember the 7 years of plenty. Pharaoh, you've been given 2 dreams because God has said this is going to happen. And he's urgent. Clear. By the way, if you're making notes about, you know, what it might take to get a promotion, somewhere on the list, put, don't be a babbler. Be someone who knows how to communicate very clearly, using few words. Joseph has done that. But watch. He doesn't stop there. And he's just sold to tell the dream. But look where Joseph takes it. I love this. Verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then the food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. This is all happening on the spot. Joseph not only tells him the dream, but then gives him a step-by-step solution. And it's a pretty brilliant solution. Joseph says, Pharaoh, you're going to need a wise man. You're going to need to put him over all the land and in charge of this business. You're going to have to let this wise man have access to officials throughout all of Egypt. And Pharaoh, I recommend that you enforce a 20% tax on all that is produced throughout the land. And Pharaoh, all that food that's collected will be under your authority. It will belong to the government. And it will be held in reserve. And it will take care of us during the 7 years of famine. You know, if I'm Pharaoh, I'm thinking, where have you been all my life? Brilliance. The Spirit of God upon him. He has his opportunity to shine. And he does. I want you to notice something that Joseph does here, and I think this is so important. Notice that Joseph wasn't just a problem identifier. He was also a problem solver. He identifies the problem, but then he gives a solution to the problem. Brother and sister in Christ, again, and you could apply this to promotion. Be a problem solver. Not just a problem identifier. Have you ever worked with the problem identifiers? These are the people that find all the problems. Oh, Mr. Boss, there's a problem over here in the department. There's a problem over here. There's a problem with the toilet. There's a problem over here. And these people, every time they come, they have problems. And very often they don't have any solution to the problems. And what they want to do is make those problems the problems of other people. Be a problem solver. Do that. Think about that. As the man of God, as the woman of God in your workplace where you work, be the problem solver. Do this. Don't just be the one that barks about all the problems. Do this with your boss. Next time there's a problem and you identify it, understand the problem and then come up with a step-by-step solution to how you might solve the problem. And then go to your boss and say, hey, I found a problem. And here's how I think we can solve the problem. What do you think? Can you say promotion? Can you say doing something that will set you apart? I think we should be the best men and women at our jobs. Amen? And the best men and women at a job are the problem solvers, not just the problem identifiers. So, here's Joseph. Look at what he's doing. Yes, the providential hand of God is at work. But what's Joseph? Who's he being? He's being that man who's going to give glory to God. He's being that man who's humble. He's being that man who communicates clearly. He's being that problem solver, not just the problem identifier. And by the way, I would add to the list for Joseph, he's been a faithful man and a hard worker. You find out later in this chapter that Joseph is 30 years of age here. Now, when we started his story, Joseph was 17. So it's been 13 years. I want you to think about that. 13 years. Joseph was faithful with his family, gets sold into Egypt, becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. He's faithful there. Then he goes to the prison for 10 years. He's faithful there. He's a hard worker there. And now he comes out into the palace. And he's simply being what he's always been. Faithful. Dependable. Reliable. Hardworking. Humble. Day in, day out. I mentioned that this promotion happens overnight. Well, it does happen overnight. When God brings everything together, it usually happens very quickly. But it was preceded by 13 long character building prison years where Joseph proved himself. Joseph was faithful. You know, we live in a society that has sort of this satisfaction now mentality. Have you noticed? Young people want to be in charge right away. They get out of college and they think, hey man, I'm the manager. No, you're not. You're a peon. You're at the bottom. And you need to work your way up. And there are character building years. And as brothers and, you know, as Christians, we should embrace those moments. Work every day faithfully. Humbly serving our God every day. One person said about promotion, people who do lots of work make lots of mistakes. People who do less work make less mistakes. People who do no work make no mistakes. People who make no mistakes get promoted. That's why I spend most of my time sending emails and playing games at work, because I need a promotion. That won't do for us. We work hard. And remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25 to his servants. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Be faithful. Embrace these moments, because it will lead to your promotion. Okay. So Joseph suggests to Pharaoh that a wise man be put in charge. Now this guy is going to have some serious work ahead of him. This person is going to have to do a lot of logistics, a lot of administration. This person's going to have to recruit officials all over. This person's going to have to convince Farmer Brown to give up 20% of his food for the next 7. That's going to be a hard sell, on the pretense that a famine's coming 7 years later. Then there's going to have to be all the logistics, all the facilities, all of the cities. Where do you store the stuff? This is going to be a huge task. This will call for a wise person. Who do you think's perfect for the job? There's no doubt with Pharaoh. Look at verse 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? This is the first time in the Bible that it mentions the Holy Spirit coming upon a man, anointing a man. And here it is with Joseph, and Pharaoh recognizes it. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Notice what Pharaoh says there. He gives credit to God. Joseph, God, I see it is with you. You told me that God would tell the dream, and you're right. And I can see that God, that's what we want people to say about our lives. We want those people to look at our lives and say, God is on you. His Spirit is upon you. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Verse 40, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And look at all the perks. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. That's the special ring that seals documents and makes them legal. Clothed him in garments of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, and made him ride in the second chariot which he had. That's Egyptian's equivalent, Air Force Two. Chariot Two. Joseph now gets that chariot. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he sent him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of all of Egypt. Isn't that awesome? Look where God has placed his man. Look what God has done. Oh, you know, it had been years since Joseph had that coat of many colors. Years. It had been years since he had those dreams that one day his family might be bowing before him. You know, I wonder if he ever said, you know, those dreams, bag it, those dreams. Thirteen years later, all of this comes together. Now, I want you to understand that God didn't just promote Joseph for Joseph. God promoted Joseph because God knew that through Joseph, countless lives would be blessed. Through his administrative skills, through the plan that he has for saving people from the famine. You think Joseph felt a little vindicated? I wonder what the discussion was like that night in the house of Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar. You know what? You will see that Joseph takes it all in stride. He won't get puffed up. He won't change. He's Joseph. The same in prison, the same in palace. That's who we need to be. There is no doubt, my brother and sister in Christ, that God has huge plans for each one of us. He has incredible things that he wants to do in our lives. It's all over the scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 29, it says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 33:3, Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God wants to use your life in wonderful ways. He wants to bless you. I believe he wants to promote his people. He wants his people in places of leadership, in places of influence. But we need to be those men and women that will seek to give him glory. We need to be humble. We need to be men and women that have the Spirit of God upon us. And we need to be those men and women that are looking for the providential leadership of God in our lives. Do you do that? Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that you would move in a mighty way in each one of our lives. Lord, that we would have our eyes open. Father, I pray that we would take each day that you give us and see it as the gift that it is. And whether we're in school, whether we're at a job that we don't like, whether it's a day off, whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that every day would become holy because we live it for you. And that we would look for all of the opportunities that you give us every day to minister. Lord, I want to pray specifically for those here this morning who are feeling down. Lord, maybe just bad things going on in life. Maybe circumstances that they can't really even, they just didn't expect. Hey, listen. Do you belong to the Lord? Then trust Him. Trust Him. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Every tear you've ever shed, He's kept in a bottle. He is intimately involved in your life. Trust Him. Stay strong. Stay humble. Joy comes in the morning. There's a glorious morning coming. Father, I pray that You would lift up the spirits of anyone here who is down. Show us the great great hopes of Your Word. That You have a glorious plan for each one of us. And then, Lord, I ask that we would be humble, that we would be surrendered to You. In Jesus' name, amen.